when she was talking about being down there, and that president of the Bible college calling her up front, she didn't tell you that she didn't just come up there and sing the song. They actually danced on the platform. I mean, it was wild. And she was in her 20s when that happened. So that tells you how long it's been. But after they were finished, the pastor, he said, you know, he said, I got a testimony. He said, I came in here tonight with a headache. He said, my head has really been hurting. And he said, since I had danced out here in this song, he said, my headache's gone. And, you know, with what you shared with the Word from God, and then what I had in the bulletin, you'd almost always got them from the same place, wouldn't you? We did. Except she didn't know that I was getting what I was getting, and I didn't know that she was getting what she was getting, and Laverne didn't know what either one of us was getting, and we didn't know what she was going to sing. That's how good God is. And we're glad to see the ones of you that made it this morning. We've got a few visitors. We're glad to have you with us. And about two-thirds of our congregation's gone, but hallelujah, we're here. Amen. And I've had this message and next week's message just kind of building up in me now for about a month, 6 weeks. And I said, God is just too much information. Somebody said, well, you need to write it down. Make an outline and stay with it. You don't have to try to preach it all. And I knew that. I had a dream last night, and I did that too. I made an outline. And I had a dream last night, and in my dream, I was preaching my message today. But it wasn't to you, it was to a whole different group of people. And I got to the end of it, and I came to the portion of Scripture that I had planned on using as the concluding part. And I had so many notes, I couldn't find it. I was looking all through my notes trying to find my last scripture. And I woke up. Something woke me up. I can't remember what it was. Some kind of noise or something early this morning. And woke me up and before I ever could find my closing scripture. But how many of you know there's a lot of information in the world? And how many of you know that the only way you get anywhere in the world is by learning something? And the only way you can really get somewhere in the world is by learning what's right. By learning the truth. And there's a whole lot of stuff out here in the world that's not the truth. Particularly if you're going to say that you're a Christian. And you're going to believe you're a Christian. And somebody told me this morning that about a relative that they have that's an atheist because you can't scientifically prove God. So I'm listening to her share this with me, and the thought goes through my mind, you can't even scientifically prove that we're here. Somewhere when you get back there, you can't go back any further. And where you get to leaves a whole lot of doubt in whether or not we're here. Because how can something just all at once come out of nothing? The only place that I know of that says anything like that is right here. And God said, in Hosea chapter 4, Hosea chapter 4, we have this scripture in verse 6. Hosea 4, 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because you have rejected knowledge. I will also reject you from being priest for me, because you have forgotten the law of your God. I also will forget your children. Now, what God was saying here, if you don't listen to me, I can't do anything for you. Now, let's look at something you might not have thought of before. Listen to what it says, exactly what it says, and we're going to put this in context. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. What I want you to understand is who he's talking to. Hosea is talking to the priests. He's talking to the preachers. He's talking to the pastors. He says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because, doesn't say because they have rejected knowledge. It says because you have rejected knowledge. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of things that the men of God are going to have to stand before God and give an account for. James says, let not everybody be a teacher, because they're going to be held in stricter, under stricter requirements. But my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. So the message today is, why are my people destroyed? You know what it means to be destroyed? Think about that, just the idea of being destroyed. That doesn't mean just being knocked down. That just doesn't mean being punched in the nose. That doesn't mean somebody tripping you and you falling. That carries the connotation that you are totally obliterated. That you are torn piece by piece. That you are literally disintegrated. That every trace of a pattern of existence is gone. And you know, there's three things we lack knowledge about. And I'm going to cover this real quickly, because this is not even the main part of my message. Three things that we lack knowledge about because we haven't heard the truth about it. One of them is God. There's a lot of people who are standing up preaching, teaching about God, and they don't even know what they're talking about. One thing we don't know enough about God is his love. You know, God is love. God loves you. I don't care what you are. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what you've been. God loves you. There never was a time that since you've been born, or even before you were born, that God didn't love you. Nothing that you've done. I had heard a preacher say one time, 100 years ago, and I heard him personally, back when I first started in the ministry. It was actually back in the early 70s. He'd been preaching for a long time, and he was preaching at another denomination, and I thought, well, maybe that's the reason why he's the way he is. But I found out, you know, it doesn't matter what denomination you're in, you still be messed up, or you still walk in the truth. And this man had been preaching for years, and he made this statement. He said, God has never led me to preach a sermon on love. I'm thinking, God is love? God talks about, for God so loved the world, and he's never led you to preach a sermon about what he is? See what I mean by being a lot of misinformation out there? Another thing that people don't know about God, that we need to know about God to be have a better knowledge of, is the fact that he's always unchangeable. God is unchangeable. He's always the truth, and he's always unchangeable. James said, every good and perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. And I'll tell you what, the God that I know, and the God that I love, and the God that loves me, and the God that loves the world, would sure have to do a lot of changing and turning and shadowing if he's responsible for Harvey. And there are a lot of people that'll preach. They got, that's just God's vengeance. There's some shadow turning there. A lot of people's concept of God, if somebody had a knock on the door and they said, "Who is it?" And he said it was God, they wouldn't know if he was going to bless them or shoot them. Because they don't know that there's no change. And God cannot be good today and bad tomorrow. He cannot do something good today and bless you today and curse you tomorrow. It's just not God's character. And God's a creator. In Him we live and move and have our being. And you know, I've never had any trouble with true science that's been proven. I mean, nothing that ever been proven has made me change my idea of the Bible, because it always seems that I can say, well, you know, if that's right, yeah, that's what it is. It's the stuff that's been speculated on. And you know, even the best that science can do in some areas is just guess. I watch the Science Channel a lot. And one of the programs that they have on there that I like to watch is called What on Earth? I don't know if any of you have ever seen it or not. What on Earth? And what the program is about is things that are on this planet that nobody can explain. And a lot of it has to do with civilizations that were only a few thousand years old. And they can't explain how they did what they did. And then if you watch that, and then if you try to incorporate it with another one that comes on the History Channel called Ancient Aliens, you know, the thesis is that the ancient aliens came down with some kind of technology that helped these people build these structures. Well, why didn't the aliens use their stuff instead of that stuff? I'm sure the aliens didn't come down here in stone spaceships, but they can't explain them. They can't explain it. And some of the civilizations, they don't know where they went. God's the creator. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And now we're just learning about what He created. And then another thing that we don't know a lot about as we need to, is Satan. Now, some people know too much about him, but the problem is what they know about him is not right. I mean, you know, a Satan worshiper, he doesn't have any clue what Satan is. If he knew what Satan was, he'd run from him, not be trying to worship him. But did you know he's limited? You know, if the devil's at my house, he can't be at yours. He's not omnipresent like God is. If the devil's down in South Africa, he can't be up here in North America. But now he's got a lot of minions. And they're not saved either. He's got a lot of followers. He's got a lot of demonic spirits. And you know, if you're reading the scriptures and the gospels, Jesus spent more time dealing with demonic spirits than he did with the devil himself. He just put the devil in his place to begin with and said, you know, that's enough, enough's enough. And then the devil was mad from then on. He tried to figure out a way to get rid of Jesus while Jesus was wreaking havoc on his kingdom. So he's limited. And another thing, and I know you know this, but we act like we don't. He's a liar. And there's no truth in him. He's a liar and the father of lies. No truth is in him. Nothing he ever speaks is the truth. But I can promise you, he said something to you, or his demonic followers have said something to you within the last few weeks, and you believed it. Now, you either wasn't smart enough to figure out that it was a lie, or you wasn't smart enough to figure out it was the devil talking to you. And you know what that means? My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. See, I don't want you to go out of here and me not have told you, watch out for the devil. He's going to lie to you. He's a snake oil salesman. I'll tell you something else that you don't understand about him. Most people don't understand about him, but the Bible portrays him this way. He's weak and he's afraid. He's weak and he's afraid. He's not an invincible adversary because he's been defeated. And I think I said this in a message, or in not a message, but in one of the services here a while back, just as a statement. If he were so brave, why did it take an entire army to surround the city where Elisha was in order to take him prisoner? You got one man you're after? Do you send the entire National Guard? Unless you're afraid of him? And sometimes you think you have a lot of stuff come at you. Well, maybe it's because the devil's so afraid of you that he's trying his best to keep you down. And I mean, I look at myself, and I've gone through what I've gone through in the last 10 years, and I think, what'd I do that this could happen? And then on the other hand, I think, you know, well, the devil must surely be mad at me for something. And he's trying his best to get me out of the way. But I'm not going easy. And you don't know enough about yourself. We have a lot of lack of knowledge about ourselves. There's so many Christians, and they don't understand that they're righteous. If you're a child of God, you're righteous. You can ask most Christians, are you righteous? And they'll say, well, I'm trying to be. Well, what are you doing to try to be? And when will you achieve it? You're either righteous or you're not. Are you going to heaven? Well, I hope so. You better do more than hoping. You get to heaven because you believe you're going, not because you hope you are. And you are capable. You won't hear that voice spoken in your ear much. God will tell you you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, but everything else will tell you you can't do it. You're capable. And another thing that we're not too sure about, that we don't have a lot of knowledge about, is that we are favored. We are favored. God is not watching for a way to get you out. He's looking for ways to keep you in. Now, when you were talking about knowledge, my people have been destroyed for lack of knowledge. There are four words that are used, and they're sort of interchangeable, but they all have a little significance of their own at the same time. And that's these four words: wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and instruction or discipline. I want you to turn to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 13. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. Now listen to the definition of that word. The word in Hebrew is musar. Musar. It means correction, chastisement, instruction, discipline, an admonition, rebuke, or a warning. It comes from the verb that means to reform or chase or discipline or instruct. It appears 50 times in the Old Testament, 30 times of these in Proverbs. Musar is broad enough to encompass chastening by words and by punishment. It says, the chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Jesus took your chastisement so that you could have peace. in Proverbs 3:11, and we may look at that a little bit, we may not. We are urged not to despise the chastening of the Lord, nor to grow weary in His correction. A wicked man may even die for lack of instruction. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So if a wicked person, if his people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, where does that leave a wicked person? Thus, Musar includes all forms of discipline intended to lead to a transformed life. It's not child abuse, it's discipline. It's instruction. It's meant to correct you, not to punish you. It's meant to save you, not to hurt you. Now, since I read that one, let's go back to the beginning of that chapter. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1. Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her and she will preserve you. Love her and she will keep you. What's he talking about? He's talking about wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. A lot of people have a lot of information and no understanding about it. There's a lot of people that lack information. And that's why they don't know anything more what they know. But a lot of people have a lot of information and they lack the understanding of what the information is. Exalt her and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace. Ah, ha, ha, there's that word. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. An ornament of grace and a crown of glory. What a pair. Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered, and when you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let her go. Keep her, for she is your life. You want to really make it good in this life, you've got to learn something. You got to have some knowledge, and you got to accept the knowledge. You know what wisdom means? Wisdom means awareness, skillfulness, and this is interesting. It means a connection with Messiah. Really? In the Hebrew and the Old Testament, that word wisdom implies a connection with Messiah, because that's where wisdom comes from. If you don't have a connection with Messiah, and all of you know who Messiah is, Jesus Christ. Christ means Messiah. Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Wisdom is a connection with Him. The stronger connection you have with Him, the more wisdom you're going to have. And you know what James said? James says, if anybody lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, and He will what? Make you earn it? No, He will give it to you. Why? Because all things reside in Jesus, and we reside in Him. And I'll say more about that next week. Knowledge. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. It's a word, dayat. D-A-A-T, dayat. It means knowledge. It means knowing, understanding, intelligence, wisdom, discernment, skill. And it's referring to Jesus. My people are, now let me really take liberties with this, but it's not the truth nonetheless. It is the truth. My people are destroyed for a lack of Jesus. When you're lacking Jesus, you're going to get destroyed. Because you're not going to have wisdom to get out of your issues. And you know, he says, get understanding. Get understanding. You know what understanding is? Understanding is to know the truth about something. It doesn't do you much good to have a lot of information if you don't know what information you've got's the truth. And I choose that if I am going to have to decide between information from some source that contradicts with the information that I have found in here, and I'm telling you what, just reading the words won't get you the knowledge. There's nothing in the scriptures that says the earth is flat. As a matter of fact, the scripture in one place says God sits upon the circle of the earth. And there's a lot of other things. There's a lot of scientists that got martyred by church people, by religious people that didn't understand the scriptures that they thought they knew, and they burn them at the stake and call them heretics because of some scientific discovery that they made. The earth's the center of the solar system, according to some people. But when, I won't use names because I get Galileo and Archimedes and all these other guys kind of running back and forth. But when the scientists said that the earth was not the center of the solar system, they killed that man as a heretic, even though he was right. The earth's not the center of the solar system. And when somebody said the sun was the center of the solar system and they didn't go around the earth, he got messed up too. Because people, just because they've read the Bible doesn't mean they know the truth. And that's sad to say. Because when you read the Bible with a preconceived idea, you know humans don't think like God. We don't tend to think like God. We think like other humans. And God said, my ways are higher than your ways, my thoughts above your thoughts, my ideas above your ideas. And we're trying to get up there. And Sir Isaac Newton credits God with all the things that he discovered in science that led to a lot of changes in the way people believe about things. Something as simple as gravity. Up until he got to thinking about it, nobody even thought much about what makes you fall down. You just fell down. What caused that? Why don't you ever fall up? I slipped and fell upstairs. That never happens. There's got to be a law that governs it. Now, you want to have knowledge, you want to have understanding, you want to have wisdom, you want to have all of these things, you want to follow after these, you want me to tell you how to get started? Turn back to the first chapter of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. but fools despise wisdom and instruction. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. What does the Bible say a fool is? It's a person that says in his heart there is no God. Fool has said in his heart there is no God. Now in the handout for this morning, in the article that I wrote, the script that I used down at the bottom that I didn't put the reference to, well, I did too, it's Proverbs 1:7. This is more of an understanding. The reverential fear and respect of God. See, it doesn't mean the fear of God like if you have a problem to be afraid of dogs. You don't fearfully and wonderfully respect them. You're just afraid of them. Well, you know, somebody's afraid of heights. I mean, awesomeness, reverence, and respect doesn't come when you get stuck up somewhere real high. It's fear that something bad's going to happen to you because you're up so high. Or claustrophobia. And see, a lot of people don't even know what the fear of God is. Fear of the Lord. Well, watching over his shoulder, make sure he's not slipping up on you to nail you with something. You know, if you reverentially fear somebody and respect them, you'll want to honor them by doing what they expect you to do. And that's exactly what's happening. When you start beginning to do what God expects you to do and recognize God is the beginning, don't put anything else above God or you're already off base. It's not God, it's not something than God. It's God and then whatever fits with Him thereafter. Proverbs 2, verses 3 through 6. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. I believe that about covers everything I've talked about this morning. Turn to chapter 3 again. Chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. It doesn't mean wonder about whether or not God will help you. Check it and see. Well, I'm going to try God, and if it don't work, I'll try something else. That's not trusting the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. In other words, say, this is my answer, and I'm going to go find it anywhere else. Now, God can use every how He wants to do it. If you're trusting God for money, He's not going to print it in heaven and put it in your mailbox. Probably He's not. But if you're trusting Him for money and you need the money to pay a bill or something like that, and you pray and you ask God, and God is your source, He'll figure out some way to get it to you. Had somebody walk up to me here not long ago. This is a praise from God. For God. Walked up to me and he said, I want you to have this. He said, now this is for you. He said, don't put it through the church. Don't give it to the church. You take it for yourself. I don't need the credit for it. It's just for you. And he handed me a check and I put it in my pocket and I said, thank you. And when I could get opportunity, I took it out of my pocket and I opened it and I looked at it and I almost passed out. It was a check for $1,000. Now, did I expect that? No, but I was expecting God to take care of some things that needed to be taken care of. And this man knew nothing about my situation. But God did. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. I just don't know how God's going to do this. When you say that, you're leaning on your understanding. I can't understand how God's going to take care of this. I'll tell you something. God's taken care of this church for the last several years. And there's been times when it hasn't mattered what the size of the congregation was. I've seen some offerings that just did not fit the size of the congregation. They were way under big. And you look at that and you think, who in the world gave that? And I don't know who gave anything. I don't know anything about anybody that gave anything. I could find out, but I just choose not to. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. One more scripture. And I'm giving you this one as a hook for next Sunday. Chapter 4. Verse 20. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. What is? His words. God's words. Verse 23. Keep your heart with all diligence. Keep your heart with all diligence. For out of it spring the issues of life. For out of it spring the issues of life. Knowledge is knowing the truth. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowing the truth. Next week, the days was, why are my people destroyed? Next week's message is going to be the issues of life. You have issues? You ever meet people that have issues? We have all kinds of explanations about our issues. But in most cases, we lack the truth. We're going to hear about the truth next week. Let's stand. Now, you know, this week and next week, let me say this. I am not going to be able today and next Sunday to give you everything you need to know about knowledge, understanding, wisdom, and instruction. I can't do it. The best I can do today and next Sunday is to light a fuse in you that'll burn until all that begins to explode in you because you've started finding it. It's taken me a lot of years to get to where I am. And I can remember 20 years ago, and I know that you've heard this too, Sister Shirley, and a lot of the rest of you. Ministers, you know, and they're trying to be right. But they come up to you, or they call you up front in a meeting and say, now I'm going to lay my hands on you and impart to you all that God has given me. Does that mean I'm not going to have to spend the next 20 years learning what you spent learning the last 20 years? Just going to come to me because you're going to lay your hands on me. That's not going to happen. And I can't come around to you and lay my hands on you and impart knowledge. best I can do is just light the fuse and hope that you wait for the explosion. And then you'll explode in inside of you like the joy of your salvation. Wake you up in the morning, set your feet a-going. Why? Because I finally found out about it. I know about it. I understand it now. I understand that God wasn't the one that dropped the bomb on me. It was the devil. And I'm going to pray a prayer. And if you want to receive this prayer, you just receive it. Let's pray. Lord, you've given us a lot of things in your word. You have given us, as you said in your word, everything that pertains to life and godliness. You put it within our hands. You withheld nothing from us, nor will you withhold anything that we seek from you. No good thing will you withhold from him that walks uprightly. So we search for you, Lord God. And we ask for wisdom, and we ask for knowledge, we ask for understanding, and we ask for instruction, so that we, Lord God, can live long lives, so that we can be at peace, so we can say to the mountain, grace, and the mountain will have to obey us. The blessing that you have given us, Lord God. And we walk out of this place this morning. We walk out, Lord God, with something stirred up in us. It's saying that I'm not going to be destroyed because I'm refusing to learn. I am going to explode to the knowledge of God. God's word is going to do in me the same thing it did when the word says, and God said, let there be, and there was. It's going to do the same thing for me. Same thing for anyone that believes. I thank you, Lord God, for blessing each one that's here. Thank you, Lord God, that they'll leave here knowing they've been in the presence of God, knowing they've been under the Word of God, and that they have received it. Now bless their week and let them grow. And we give you the praise for it and the thanks for it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you and thank you for being here.